is home with Tammy, so he asked me to talk tonight. So the things I'm going to talk about tonight, there's some stuff in here that I've talked about a little bit before, but I'm going to go a different direction with it, and we're gonna kind of take it somewhere else that might be uncomfortable for a little bit for some of us, but it's the Bible. Whether we like it or not, that's what his word says, and we need to obey his word. So let's start off in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. So in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, this is where Jesus is talking, and Jesus is asked by somebody that is basically interrogating him, if you would, and they're trying to catch him in a lie during this situation. And they ask Jesus, you know, they say the greatest, but what is the most important commandment, right? Out of the commandments, what's the most important one? Okay, and I know I've shared this one before, but nope. So Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the first two commandments. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? So we've heard the first two before. We've heard, you know, love the Lord God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind. Love your neighbor, right? We've heard these before. It's things that we try to instill in our lives. We try to be more like Christ, and that's right, that's the way to do it. But that last line's never caught me before until I started doing study on this. And it talks about, you know, on these two commandments hangs all of the law and the prophets. Okay? So let me use an illustration here. So these curtains that we hang up, these nice, beautiful curtains that we put up here, what holds them up there? A rod, right? So if I had Mike come up here with a curtain and said, "Hey, Mike, hold this," and he lets it go, what's going to happen? It's going to fall to the ground. How long or how many times is he going to do that before it doesn't fall to the ground? It'll do it forever, right? It's always going to fall to the ground until he finds something to hang it, right? Something that it can hang on. And that's kind of when I read this, that's what I started thinking about is on these two commandments hangs all of the law and the prophets. To me, reading through this, and I'm going to talk more about this later, but if we're not meeting those first two commandments, then we're not meeting anything. Jesus said those are the two greatest commandments. If we don't meet those, we can be saints, we can be everything else, we can be great people, but it doesn't mean anything. It won't get us into heaven, right? Because those first two commandments, if you don't love Jesus with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, I mean, that's our salvation, right? That's what gets us our salvation. And the one that's a little tougher, but it's right here, Jesus' words. I mean, he said it himself. And the second that is just as important is love thy neighbor as yourself. Right? Without love, nothing else works. You know, that's, you know, simply being a good person, that doesn't get you into heaven. Unfortunately, there's a lot of good people that don't make heaven their home for eternity, unfortunately. But that's having it in his, depending on the person, right? 12 to 18 inches, right? Between your brain and your heart. That's what keeps a lot of people out of heaven, is a simple 18 inches. Should. We are a gift from Christ, right? We are a gift from him. We should take care of ourselves. We should love ourselves and Yep.
No, it's saying love everybody else the way you would love to be loved. The way there's nobody that wants the worst for themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the best for themselves. Have that kind of love for everybody else.
Yep. Yeah, loving everybody the way that you want to be loved, right? The way that we want to be loved. Okay, so yeah, it's talking about if you miss these first two commandments, right? You miss everything, right? You've got to really understand how important these first two commandments are. Each of these commandments, they can be studied on their own, right? You can really dig into what it means to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And we can dig into the second commandment there of love your neighbor as thyself. Tonight, I'm going to get a little bit more into the second one because that's the toughest one, right? That's the one that's tough. How do you love your neighbors, right? How do you love those guys? So that's a big one. That's a big one to get, right? It's a really, really big deal because if we're not doing that, we're not meeting what he's commanded us, because it's a commandment, what he's commanded us to do. So, yeah. So, right? Oh, I still love him. I love him to death. I love my neighbor. I really do. I do. And I'm not just saying that. I actually do like my neighbor. I like him a lot. You know, Jesus told us this is one of the greatest commandments, right? Is love thy neighbor as yourself. Without obeying this one, nothing else is going to matter. Whatever else we do is not going to matter. It's not an ask. Jesus didn't ask us to love our neighbors, right? This isn't one of those that, hey, if you have time, love your neighbor, right? If they treat you right, love your neighbor. That's not what Jesus asked, right? This is a commandment. It's something we have to do, and we got to figure out how to get our minds right sometimes to do that. So digging into this a little bit more, so loving your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, you guys know I've obviously just recently got my pastor certification, but it doesn't stop there, right? I had to do a bunch of stuff to get that. There was a bunch of things that I had to do, a bunch of tasks, courses that I had to do, some tasks that I had to complete. So I'm not done, right? I've still got more I got to do to get to that next level as a pastor. Inside Grace International, there's different levels. And so to get to the general license, I got to keep going on that. So one of the things I'm studying right now and I'm working on, it's a book called The Five Love Languages, and it's very, very good. It's very good. So I'm going to kind of go over a little bit of that tonight just because I've been doing a study on it. It's a great book talking about love, and it kind of explains to us how we can love each other, right? How we can love each other. How come sometimes we have a difficult time loving each other? It may explain that a little bit too. So John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay, so in this, John's writing about this, Jesus is saying that it's what we show, right? It's what's in our heart, because, you know, I preached about this last time. What's in our heart comes out, right? What you hide in your heart eventually is going to come out, whether it's when you stub your toe or when somebody cuts you off or whatever it is in traffic. But when you hide things in your heart, they're going to come out. So Jesus is saying that this is where we need to be. We need to show how much we love each other. Okay, the book of Matthew, Luke, Romans, 1 Peter, all four of these discuss loving, blessing, feeding, giving drink to our enemies and those who prosecute us or persecute us, right? I mean, that's four different books in the New Testament that all have scripture in them that talks about loving each other at the end of the day, right? Loving each other, praying for each other. Is it hard at times? Yep. Very hard sometimes, right? But it's not a choice. It's the second of his commandments. We don't have a choice. We have to walk as Christ walked. That's our goal, right? That's where we want to be. We want to be Christ-like. So we need to walk like Christ. And in doing so, we need to love people, even when it's hard to sometimes. For me, you know, and this is something I thought about is Ray, you don't get to love me. You have to love me. It's not a choice, right? We'll get there. But that's reality, right? We don't get to love each other. I mean, we do. God gives us that option, but we have to, right? It's not that we get to love each other. We have to love each other, even in the hard times, even in the times that somebody appears to be not very lovable, and we got to look really, really hard to find that lovable areas that of why we love them. At the end of the day, they're a child of God just like we are, and we're going to love them for that, if nothing else. You know, back to John 13:35, you know, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So walk the walk, right, is show that, have it in our hearts, right, that we love the Lord God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our soul, and love our neighbor. And we got to show that through our actions, through the way we act. You know, it's I got a thing that I watched one time on Facebook, I think it was, but it was one of those reels that you watch. But it was a Christian comedian talking, and he was talking about part-time Christians, you know, and he was talking about that he had called a gal from the church, and he must have called her on her day off, because she was definitely a part-time Christian, because everything changed when she realized that it was pastor calling, kind of thing. But it was it's funny. But I think we all sometimes catch ourselves getting that way, to where, you know, we get focused on the world, we get focused on ourselves, and people see that. People see that around us, people see that in us, and that's stuff that we need to get out of our heart, right? We need to get that stuff out of there so that it doesn't sneak out, because it doesn't belong there. Okay, so the five love languages. Okay, imagine somebody traveling to a foreign country without knowing that language. Imagine we traveled to a foreign country, we didn't know the language there. You may smile, gesture, even raise your voice, guilty. But if they don't understand your words, communication breaks down. And that's what happens in many of our relationships, our marriages, our families, our friendships, and even in our churches. Right? We're speaking, but not connecting. I had a neighbor when we lived up in Washington. I had a neighbor, and super good people. They were Korean, and he couldn't speak a word of English. And finally, Tab stopped me one day, and she's like, "Why do you keep talking louder? He's not going to understand you when you talk louder." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." But I did. It was just second nature. I just start talking louder, and then pretty soon we just got to gestures, you know, and doing finger pointing, and I'd point at things, and he'd be like, so we learned how to communicate a little bit when necessary, and if not, we just shake our heads and pretend like we did. But they were good neighbors, though. Okay, so this book, The Five Love Languages, is written by Gary Chapman, Dr. Gary Chapman. It gives us insight on how people give and receive love differently. I want to look into these five love languages through the lens of through Scripture, though, and learn how to love like Jesus did. So the first of the five love languages, this is called words of affirmation. So the definition of this is expressing love through spoken encouragement, appreciation, and praise. Okay, this is one that in a lot of relationships, and I'm not going to say all because I don't want to paint it with a wide brush, I can say that I've had to learn this one myself a little bit. Because sometimes we struggle at speaking our love to people we love. Sometimes we struggle with telling them how much we appreciate them. We're just like, well, they know. Should know. Right? But there's sometimes we have a hard time doing that. And I've learned with my wife that she loves to be told that I love her. She loves to be appreciated when she does something, right? She loves to be able to be appreciated for those things. So that's that, you know, she likes to be affirmed that my love for her is for her and nobody else, and that's it's a true love that I have for her. So, I mean, that's one. Proverbs 18:21 talks about death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat or eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace into the hearers. Right? So it's saying don't talk trash, right? Don't talk negative stuff to somebody. Talk good things, right? Talk love to them. That's what people with affirmation, with words of affirmation, that they feel their love and they give their love. That's how they do that. Jesus spoke words of affirmation. When he was baptized, God said, this is my son. This is my beloved son, whom I am very well pleased, right? Matthew 3:13. Sometimes people in our lives just need to hear that they are loved, appreciated, and seen, right? So that's the first love language. If you're somebody who doesn't really fall into that, then that's okay. We got four more love languages. Maybe you fall into one of those categories, and you will, but maybe you fall into one of those because this one's not really your strong suit. But I'll tell you what, you need to know these, because if somebody in your life does fall into this, you better understand it. Because if you don't, then they're just going to be wondering, why don't they show me these things? They don't love me. They don't do this. They don't, you know, and it's friends. I'm not talking about just spouses, but friends, right? If Mike is a word of affirmation guy, you know, Mike and I may not be friends very long. He's not going to love me if I'm not loving him back, if I'm not showing that I love him back, because that's the way he sees love, and that's the way he gives and receives love, is through word of affirmation. And I know that that's not always true, but that's a good example. Next one, acts of service. Acts of service, definition of this is love expressed through serving and helping others. I can tell you, and I'll just give you a great example. I've done a lot of leadership classes. I've done a lot of studies that tell me who I am as a person and where I fit into the category of people and all that stuff. And the one thing that I'll say is every time I've done these tests and I've done them in a group, it's funny how the group that is the selfless, the serving kind of characters that people have, it's funny how everybody down in that lower group down there, not lower, but it's in the box, that's where you're at, down the lower right. But and you start talking to all those folks, and all those folks are believers of Christ. Because I think that there's something about that draws us, people that want to be involved in things like that, acts of service. You know, my wife would get upset sometimes with me about the, you know, you didn't tell me you love me, or you didn't say good morning, or you didn't hug me before you left. And I'm like, yeah, but I've just spent the last hour down in the garage doing this because I love you, and I was getting it done so that you don't have to worry about it later. So it's that doing things, that act of service for the people you love. You're doing things for people you love, although you may not go up to them and say, I love you, and you may not, you know, hug on them and treat them the way that they're looking for sometimes. And that's where, like I said, you got to understand your partner or your friends. John 13:14, Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's an act of service. Jesus didn't just say he loved, he showed it. He showed it to them. He showed them that he loved them. When you cook a meal, help somebody move, fix something, or serve at the church, you are demonstrated love. You are demonstrating love in action. Love is often spelled A-C-T-I-O-N, action. Because love is an action. In all of these, that's the one thing. Love's an action. It's something that we're doing, right? Love is something we give, right? Love isn't something that we receive on demand. I want your love. No, love is something we give, and hopefully they give it back. You know, that's love. Do you love them? Your commandment says you should, right? Well, something like that. His question was, what if you have somebody that you're paying to do something? So let's say, I'm just going to use, I know you're not talking about this, but let's say it's a yard person that takes care of all your yard maintenance for you, right? A team that comes in and does it. Appreciation. Right? You don't necessarily, when I say appreciation on that one of the words of affirmation, it doesn't mean you got to tell them you love them, but appreciate them. You know, appreciate them. Tell them, hey, I really appreciate you guys. You know, like I did with Gene just a little bit ago is I love Gene. Gene's a great, great, great man. It's, yeah. It could be a financial bonus. Okay. Well, that's different. That's a structure. You're talking about a military grade, pay grade, but you can use that in any job, right? Of a boss or something like that. Is you still love each other? You take care of each other. You're a team, especially in the military, right? Your unit's a team. But even at our jobs that we have now, you know, if you appreciate them and appreciate what they do, then you tell them, hey, I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate what you're doing. Yeah, you're doing a great job. And you know, like Mike said, is where certain things you can give some money, which I'll get into that one here in just a couple minutes, that there's something with that also. But yeah, no, good questions. It's just through appreciation, right? It's showing them that you appreciate them, and through that, you're showing them that, hey, I care about you. I appreciate you. I respect you, right? Okay, the next one of the five is quality time. Definition on this one is love is expressed through giving someone your full attention. Okay, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. While Martha was distracted, Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. Okay, when we are in a distracted world, right? We live in a distracted world, right? Our cell phones, our tablets, schedules, our jobs. But love grows in presence, not in busyness at the end of the day, right? Love grows when we spend that quality time, if that's in this area, right? That's where the love grows, not in the busyness, but in the quality time. When we give undivided attention to communicate that you're important to me. Right, something as simple as you know, when if your wife or your husband or your spouse, I should say your spouse, or your children or your friends, they like to do something, right? We just like to go, you know, spend time together up in the mountains and hanging out and just doing our stuff, or we like to go in the backyard and lay on the hammock and look at the stars, right? To me, I'm like, boy, I've got a lot of other things I could be doing right now, you know. I got a lot of things that I could be doing other than laying in this hammock looking at the sky. But I know that it's important, right? I know that that's important to my spouse, so that's part of that love, right? I've got to give that because I know that that's what that person needs to feel that love, to understand that love, to accept that love. Yep, one-on-one time sometimes, or small groups even, but yeah, that undivided attention. When you can give somebody, and we've all done it, right? When you've been with somebody and you didn't give them your undivided attention, right? We're talking and they're trying to tell us, or we're trying to spend time with them, but our mind's somewhere else. They know, we know. But when you spend time with somebody and they've got your undivided attention, you know, that's a great thing. That shows, again, the respect. It shows that love, that appreciation for them. Okay, next one is physical touch. Love's expressed through physical connection, hugs, handshakes, a pat on the back. Mark 10, 13, 16, Jesus took the children in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. He touched the leper and he healed him in Mark 1, 41. Touch communicates compassion, acceptance, connection. And sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do for somebody is offer them comforting embrace. Now, that being said, if your love language is not touch, and somebody comes up and touches you, right, it's having a lot of understanding on that, because you want to reach up and smack them in the face, right? Smack them upside the head, right? And we've got people in this church that their love language is touch, right? It's a very loving church, and people like to hug and things like that. Well, there are folks that come in this door, and the first time they come in, you know, we've got to know that. We got to know something about them to where, you know, it's, am I okay to hug on them? Or do I need to just kind of raise it and go for a handshake initially, maybe, to see kind of where they're at? Because if we go up and give somebody a hug, you know, Polly is a great example. When Polly walked in, if I would have just given him a hug right out the back, Polly would have been like, all right, yep, I'm out. You know, but honestly, I mean, some people are that way. I can give you one example of our grief share class that we have. We had a couple gentlemen that came in one time, and one of our grief share gals, and she likes to get up and hug on people and all that stuff, and I could just see it in their face, or one of the gentlemen, I could just see it in his face that he did not like that. So I had to talk with the gal afterwards and say, hey, well, we don't do that. You know, if you don't know them, you don't put your hands on them, period. You get to know them first, you go up and you sit down and you talk to them, you say hello, and then, you know, worst case scenario, you can say, hey, do you mind if I give you a hug? You know, something like that. Because if they're not, if their love language is totally against physical touch, then it's, yeah, it's terrible, right? It's like fingers on a chalkboard to them. And it'll really, really push them away. Okay, so the five love languages, they're not just human psychology, right? They reflect the heart of God. All of these do. They reflect the heart of God. He speaks life through his word. He serves through his son. He gives us every good gift. He spends time with us through his Holy Spirit, and he touches our lives with his grace. I'm sorry, I got to go back because I didn't highlight one. There's one more in here that I didn't get. The gifts. I skipped over gifts. So let me go back to gifts real quick because I skipped over this one. So the fifth one is receiving gifts. Receiving gifts. Definition of this is loved expressed through thoughtful, meaningful gifts that say, I was thinking of you. They don't have to be extravagant. Sometimes it's a card. Sometimes it's something simple. It doesn't always have to be something expensive. But there are people out there that this is their love language. My wife's sister is a great example, and we love her to death. But when we were younger, that was how she expressed her love for everybody. It was by gifts. You know, she couldn't stand touch, didn't want to hug, don't even try to hug her. You know, and you know, it would get really uncomfortable. My sister's this way, but it gets really uncomfortable when you say, "Hey, I love you," and there's that. It's time to go. You know, just that, the affection part, right? It's, she didn't have that, but hers was gifts. So she always got everybody lots and lots of gifts. And it wasn't until I started studying this that I was like, oh, that was her way of saying that she loves us, right? That's her way of expressing that. That's how she knows to express her love language. Matthew 2:11, the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. Right? Gift giving isn't about materialism. It's not about thoughtfulness, or it's about thoughtfulness. It's a small gesture, a card, and even a time spent creating something can communicate great love. Right? Miss Pris isn't here tonight, but you know, she makes these cards that she talked about last Sunday night. She makes these cards that are back here on the table. That's how she expresses her love to people that she doesn't know. That's how she expresses her love for Christ. You know, that's how she expresses how much she loves him. Not just her brothers and sisters here on earth, but how much she loves him is through her cards, which is a really, really cool thing. Empathy? Yeah, it's... Yeah, and for a lot of people, these cards will bless their days, right? And just like any gifts, I'm not just using hers. We all do, you know, things from time to time for somebody in our lives, in our family, in our community, that really, really impacts their day. It may not change their lives, but it impacts their day, and it lets you know, it lets them know. Yep. Yeah, get well cards, things like that. 1 Corinthians 13:1. You know, if you speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding, or you are only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, I thought about this a lot, is kind of the love languages, right? And the first two commandments, you know, love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all our mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I thought about the Pharisees. I thought about everything that we've learned about the Pharisees from the day when Christ walked this earth. But, you know, I I wonder on the Pharisees if that's something that they were missing, right? Because they didn't love Christ. You know, they loved what they read in the Old Testament, right? They understood the Old Testament. They knew it front to back. But there was a lot of things. The love wasn't there. I don't think the love was there. They definitely didn't love thy neighbor as themselves, right? They were better than everybody else, right? They were stood apart from everybody else. So I think that it kind of explains, you know, why Jesus had such a hard time with the Pharisees as far as, you know, definitely not agreeing with what they were doing, what they were teaching, what they were portraying out to the world about who his Father is, who our Father is. They were very, very, yeah. When we learn to love one another, or when we learn to love others in their language, we become a clear reflection of what Jesus' love is for us. And like I said, that's not just our family. That's not just our friends. That's our coworkers. That's the person that cuts you off on the freeway. Right? Right? And those are the tough ones. Those are the tough ones. But when we learn to love others with our love language and their love language, if we have the opportunity to learn what theirs is, it makes it a lot easier. We can actually understand things, right? We understand why she's upset with me or he's upset with me or why they feel the way they do, because maybe that's not their love language. So what is? Let's figure it out and let's get on the same page so we understand each other. Kathy, you want to come up? Okay, so to recap on all this again, just real quick on the love language stuff and the commandments. So the commandments are not suggestions, right? That's so important that we understand this, because I guess it never really dawned on me when I started reading through these. It never dawned on me that these are his first two commandments that he gave us. And he even said that this is the greatest and this is the second greatest. You know, below that, everything else is important, obviously important, but those are the greatest. So those two we have to get right. So we got to continue to work on ourselves to walk like Christ, to get right in those two commandments before we ever work on the others, right? We can ask for wisdom. We can pray and pray and pray for wisdom. If we don't have these first two right, do you think God's going to give us wisdom? You fulfill them all. Yep. You know, on these two commandments hang the laws and the prophets. That's everything. Everything hangs on those two commandments. Without love, nothing else works. If your actions are not for the love of our Lord, then who are they for? For yourselves? Sometimes, right? We do things because it makes me feel good. Doesn't matter how we feel. If you're doing it because of the love of the Lord and you're doing it for God and you're doing it for the kingdom of God, then you're doing it right. So, Father God, Lord, teach us to be like you. Deeply, unselfishly, and in ways that speak to every heart. Help us to communicate your love, not just in words, but by our actions, our presence, and our grace. Give us opportunities through this next week, Lord, and through these months to come, Lord. Give us opportunities to show people the love that we have inside of us because of you, because of what you have commanded us, Lord, and because of what we know is true. If it's in the Bible, Lord, we know that it's true, and we know that we need to follow these, Lord. So give us those opportunities to where we get to love somebody that maybe we didn't usually want to love. You know, love our enemies, love those who persecute us. Give us those opportunities this in the future here, Lord, as we move forward to be able to show that love to them, because we don't know what that's going to do to them, Lord. We don't know that by our actions, what kind of seed that could plant in their lives, Lord. And next thing you know, somebody that has been just treating us terrible is calling us for help. They're calling us and asking us questions to for help from us and giving us the opportunity to plant even more seeds of who you are and the things that you've done in our lives and the things that you can do in their lives. So just please give us those opportunities, those moments, Lord. Help us to go out this week and just to have a great week and heal those that we prayed for, Lord. And just, we know that you can, Lord, and just help them heal quickly. And we just love you, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for everybody that has the opportunity to hear this word, Lord, and to go out and share that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.